tell us a little bit about the Broken Hill Festival. What's the story? How did you go this year?
So the Broken Hill Festival is basically a Priscilla tribute festival that runs for 3 days in Broken Hill, where they had the iconic scene where Felicia gets off the bus in her iconic song dress.
Amazing. Amazing.
So it's held in there over 3 days, and then there's shows and entertainment every night for those 3 days, and then there's a nice, slow, relaxing day over in Silverton on the Sunday before we finish up with a massive night on Sunday night.
So a bit of a recovery day before the big party at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. I like that's very thoughtful planning on their behalf.
It is.
Now, Jojo, you've stated that you first started drag and you got into drag as a bit of a political statement. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a bit about your journey.
So it was 2015 around the marriage equality debate. And the local council chambers were having a meeting that was open to the public about where they stand on it. And one of the Indigenous council members had made mention that, you know, he knows what it's like to be discriminated against. He's been through it. I thought, oh, okay, awesome. He gets it. And finished his little speech with homosexuality is not part of the Indigenous culture. So obviously I couldn't say what I really wanted to say, so I thought, well, I'll just make a bit of a statement. So when Dubbo had their first annual Pride March in October that year, I thought, well, why not do it in drag in a dress made out of the Aboriginal flag and the gay pride flag?
Amazing. And how were you received at the Dubbo Pride March?
With a tremendous amount of open arms. Everyone absolutely loved it.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. And I think that drag traditionally has had a bit of a political nature to it as well.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
All performance has a political nature. So I love that you're bringing that into your performances. Now, this year you were a mentee, or you are a mentee, with the Broken Hills Mentorship Program for First Nations drag queens. What are you learning as part of that?
So as part of that, pretty much it's like a crash course or kind of like boot camp for drag queens.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So you know, we learned things like makeup tips, not that our faces were terribly busted, but you know, how to improve and look more polished, how to refine our looks, how to do costumes, you know, different kind of costumes instead of just buying something off the rack. Sewing, every queen should at least know how to quickly throw together a garment if she needs to. And so there was also wig styling as well, and there was a lot to do with choreography, but more to it, it was also a swapping and learning of cultures. So, you know, they would exchange information with us about the Australian drag scene. You know, drag scene is quite big with RuPaul's Drag Race, but what's kind of missing these days is not many people know the Australian drag history. So, you know, it was good to learn stuff like that, that the lay girls, the things they went through and the hardships they had to face in their times, as well as us swapping information back with them, you know, what it's like being Indigenous, gay and a drag queen. You know, I often call myself a triple minority that takes no crap. So it was good for them to get an understanding of the kind of things that we go through as Indigenous drag queens, to help better inform them, and they really wanted to learn pretty much everything they could about everything we've been through.
Wow.
So it was massive. It was a great exchange of information, and it was a great week of two kind of, I guess you could say, cultures colliding, the Indigenous culture and drag culture.
I think that is just so beautiful, and I love that the mentees weren't just there to receive information but to also have that kind of mentor role as well, and that exchange of information just is such a beautiful thing and something beautiful to facilitate as well.
Definitely. And it doesn't stop just because the festival's over for the year. We will stay in contact with them. You know, if we ever need anything, they're always there. They'll always answer our calls. And if we ever need help with a costume and we can travel to them, you know, they're more than happy to help us out. So they've kind of taken on, well, as a common term in the drag community, drag mother.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. The drag community, and admittedly I'm not in the community, but it does, from the outside looking in, look like a really beautiful, very supportive, very tight community to be a part of. Is that what you found?
Oh, it is. It definitely is. It's almost like one big gay happy family with lots of glitter sequins and fabulous costumes.
Amazing, which is what everyone needs.
Yeah, and it's a great support network. All the queens, because obviously Felicia Fox and I aren't quite massive at the moment, And so we were working with some of the biggest queens in Australia, queens that have been in it for a while, queens that may not have been in it for a while, like Art Simone, who was just going leaps and bounds and setting trends and becoming quite an icon for herself at a very young age. So it was good to for us to kind of be on their playing field and all be level, and they treat us like we're one of them.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. It was amazing.
That's beautiful. Now, as a drag queen yourself, what do you want audiences to get out of your performances? What is it that you're hoping people take away?
So one of the main reasons that I continue to do drag is to give the representation that I never had growing up. Obviously, as a kid, I'd sneak on, I think it was SBS or ABC, and watch little snippets of Mardi Gras.
Oh.
Never got busted. And there wasn't really that much representation for someone as confused as I was, who also happened to be Indigenous, you know, for lack of a better term. It was almost kind of whitewashed.
Mm.
So my main goal in drag is to give the representation to little Indigenous kids like me that I didn't have. And at the end of the day, if I can just reach, well, if Felicia and I can just reach one kid, well, the rest of my Indigenous drag sisters, if we can just reach one kid and for them to see that, all right, they're loud, they're proud of who they are, well, being Indigenous and gay, if they can do it, well, maybe I can do something like this too, or maybe I shouldn't care what people think and just be me and let their faboriginality shine through.
Faboriginality. I love that word. That's my new favourite
word. It's my favourite word.
Oh, my God, Jojo, that's amazing. And do you know what? I can say that the representation that I've seen an increase of as well for Indigenous communities. I'm not Indigenous myself, but it is so beautiful to see that you are pioneering this representation, and that you're really, really pushing to make sure that those kids out there do know that there is a community that will love them, and that
Definitely.
There is a community out there
Definitely.
For them.
And if any one of them are listening, you are loved, you are valued, and you are encouraged. So don't give up.
Jojo, you are amazing. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
So fabulous for having me. Thank you.